I'm going to talk today about observations of quiescent reconnection between an emerging flux region. I'm not going to talk about any of this other stuff, which was kind of in the title in the abstract book, because I just don't have time, but look for a paper with my colleagues here. I'll be defending, this is part of my dissertation work, it's just kind of the last little bit of it that I'm doing, and that some of my other work has kind of led me to look at this particular observational thing. Mostly I do magnetic charge topology. This is the outline of my talk. It's a little bit of an odd outline. I'll talk about the magnetic field and the evolution of the photospheric magnetic field. First, this is the radial field from HMI, and then I will talk about the flux domains that we see and observe in AIA EUV data. This is 211. Let me grab this video, open up here. And what we see here is a relatively large region. This is in arc seconds from disk center. So there's a large negative polarity region. This is an older decaying active region, and a positive polarity over here with the polarity inversion line. There's a lot of emergence that happens right there. That's where all of the emergence happens that we'll be discussing. And if I just play this right here, you can see it emerge. Just kind of an idea of the scale. There's about a few 10 to the 22 Maxwells in the larger field, and about a few 10 to the 21 Maxwells that emerges over the course of this several day period here. And down here, again, you can see the emergence happen and the bright loops pop up in this relatively, like this very nice magnetic dome topology, and the field lines connecting to this emerge positive flux between the emerge positive flux and the emerge negative flux. And so what we're going to try and do is determine how much of the flux that emerges reconnects with the pre-existing surrounding field. And that's the focus of this talk. This is something that we've really only been able to do with data from SDO. You know, we didn't have simultaneous observations like this lasting a long time to actually do this sort of with this resolution to actually see it. So first, let's focus on the, oh, sorry. There's the goal of my work. A little bit of past observations. A couple of people have done a very similar type of analysis focused on flare ribbons to determine the amount of flux reconnected during flares. You have two flare ribbons, you trace out, for instance, in 1600 angstrom data, you trace out the evolution of the flare ribbons, you overlay the contours of the brightenings that you see in 1600 angstrom data onto magnetic field data. You sum up the flux in those contours and you get an idea of how much flux has been reconnected over the course of the flare. We're applying the same principle, but instead of going for a half hour or an hour, we're going over multiple days with an emerging flux region. There are also simulations that do this sort of thing. There's a nice review by Arcontis in 2008. There's a couple of posters talking about this. Generally, these are small bipolar emergence. They're about an order of magnitude less in both spatial extent and flux for the many of the simulations, and they're focused more on these X-ray bright points and jets, but it's the same idea, just about an order of magnitude larger in size, and both in spatial extent and flux that we're studying here. So now we're going to track magnetic flux concentrations on the photosphere. This is the radial flux from HMI again. I'm not going to talk too much about how we generate the masks. If you want to read about it, check out those papers. But what you can see is the emergence happens right here. The positive flux pushes out that direction. The negative flux that emerges pushes out to the east and the south. So here's our emerge flux that's concentrated there. Here's our emerge flux. And all of this around here is pre-existing negative flux. And I'll just play this movie. You can see the large scale polarity inversion line is right there. But once again, just watch. That pushes out over there. The emergence region is over here. Negative flux concentrates there and there. All of this and into is pre-existing negative flux that it will pre-exist the emergence. And so what we want to do is basically trace out our loops in EUV that are connecting to P1 and see if there's any loops that end up attaching over here into N2. And if we find the boundary between those, then we can sum up the flux in that region, and that's our estimate of how much flux is reconnecting over this time. Just to talk one more slide on the magnetic field. The topology here, I won't say too much about this. There's a coronal null point that arises above the emerged positive flux. That's basically just because you have one polarity of flux that is completely surrounded by an opposite polarity flux. It's a magnetic dome topology. Zhudong Sun gave a very nice talk about this yesterday, which I assume you all saw. The magnetic null point is there. The fan surface of that null point creates a dome over the top of the emerged positive flux. It's indicated here by these red lines. Those are actually separators. They live in the fan surface of the coronal null point. The spine field line, which Yunan talked about, connects over to a faraway region. Of course, this is 200 arc seconds. That's quite a ways away. And the EUV data should tell us about this boundary. These are spine field lines, if you're familiar with MCT and magnetic charge topology. And that is what we're going to try and trace out in the EUV data. Here's what the EUV data looks like in a lot of these channels, all the AIA channels. You can see the emergence. We'll focus mostly on the 211, but I included them all here. You can really see this boundary very distinguished develop in many of the AIA channels. If you want to know about, there's this dark band that really demarcates field lines, which connect far across the large polarity and virgin line, and field lines which connect to the emerging positive flux. I'll just run this again. Pause it right at the beginning. So yeah, you can see the field lines that connect over there. You see the emergence happen, and we want to trace out this boundary that you see in many of these channels. So I employ a very sophisticated method to do this. I make a high pass filter, and then I take my mouse and I click around this boundary here. It'd be nice to automate this, but I wanted to get it done. And so you can see the boundary that I've, the points that I've selected out and the boundary overlaid on the EUV data in the left channel. It'd be very nice to, again, automate this process and use the emerging flux module in the HEC and do a very good statistical analysis of this, but that's something I could do in the future. Again, if you're interested in the properties of this dark band, there's a paper by Jason Scott about that, and it's a good paper. It has some interesting features which are unexpected. So I do that at every time. I will just show side by side the magnetic data, the boundary that we trace out in EUV overlaid on the magnetic, on the radial magnetic field data, and here's the contours that we have in the magnetic field overlaid on top of the AIA. We'll just show this really quick. And you can see that boundary expand out. We'll pause it. This movie starts about 17 hours after we see first emergence in the HMI data. It takes 17 hours before we can really trace out any sort of real boundary in the EUV data. But what we will notice is that at the beginning, most of the flux is connected over to the negative region with which the positive region emerged, but even after 17 hours, a little bit has started to connect into this region. And if we step forward in time, we see that boundary, that western boundary, into this very well isolated negative flux region, we see that boundary increase over time. Also, you'll notice this northern boundary is a lot less distinct. We really see a strong boundary in the southern region and to the west, and so we focus on these regions when we're trying to get our estimate of how much flux is reconnected. So now it's basically just like we do with the flare ribbons. We have a contour magnetic field, we have a boundary from some other data, in this case EUV. We're gonna sum up the flux just at the intersection of those two, sum up the negative flux, and that is our estimate of reconnection, and here's what we get. This is over 40 hours. There's a moth. the solid line is the amount of flux in that in the intersection of those two boundaries. I can take a linear fit. It's obviously not exactly linear. We get about 0.38 times 10 to the 16 Maxwells per second of reconnected flux over the course of a couple of days. And this dash dot line is the amount of positive flux, total emerged positive flux, normalized to its maximum value in our time series, just to give you an idea of the evolution of the emergence. And you can see that there is a correspondence between the two, but the reconnected flux seems to lag the surges in emergence by about 10 hours or so, 10 to 12 hours. And if I take a ratio of the reconnected flux to the emerging flux in P1, you can see it varies between about 20 and 40%. So this is not a small effect. There's quite a bit of the emerged flux reconnects, and this is just one of the regions. It's where we think most of the most of that emerging positive flux reconnects with that flux in the in that negative region to the west of emergence. But you know, it's, again, it's not a small effect, and that will depend on the relative orientation of the pre-existing field and the emerging field, as some of the simulations have shown. One last thing. Even with our linear, you know, as good as we can do a linear extrapolation to this, we see that reconnection probably starts about 10 hours or 11 hours after we first see emergence in the HMI data. And I think that that's important. There's this, you know, as this flux emerges and the current sheet develops, there's a delay between the emergence happening and when you see that actual flux reconnect. And that's, I think, an important point. And the other point that I just want to make is that we don't see a lot of flaring activity. We don't see a lot of bright spots in AIA 1600 angstrom data. We don't see a lot of impulsive increases in the reconnected flux over time. And so we really think that this is a fairly steady reconnection process. That's all I pretty much have time for, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks. Does anyone have either questions or job offers for Lucas?
Is there any corresponding modeling that suggests there should be about a 10-hour lag to build up the current sheet enough for a reconnection to start?
For that, I would go back to Hivarts and Priest, which they had that there was continual 1977. There was which is a paper that I'm sure everyone in this room has cited, where there's a height threshold at which you get basically more and more reconnection. And the loops that we see here get about 10 megameters up. And again, there's a bunch of heating stuff that I haven't gone into, and I'm just not quite comfortable saying any of those things yet. So wait for the paper.
Yeah, it looks as if you see quite well the fan surface. Can you see the corresponding spine?
That's a very interesting question. There is an M3 flare that happens in this region after the data that I've shown here, basically right at the end. And there we do see something that looks like a spine field line. If I go all the way back to this, when the flare happens, you see brightening in 1600 angstrom data over here, around this ring and down in this direction. And you do see what appears to be a spine brightening along there. But the thing is that if reconnection occurs in that region, then very rapidly that field line is going to be pulled away from the spine line, right? By magnetic tension. So, you know, you see it there a little bit, but it's kind of hard to say if it continues for a long time by continual reconnection in the flare.
You see the fan continuously evolving, you would think that the spine would evolve too. But it may be, as you say, that only during the flare.
But the fan is like an entire surface, and the spine is just one field line, so.
Well, it's not just one field line, but you're right. It's a small flux.
Well, yeah, it's a small flux relative to that in the fan surface, so I really wouldn't expect it to brighten as much. Although, you know, Zhudong presented a situation where that appeared to not be the case yesterday, so.
You have reconnection taking place at the null and heat being fed onto field lines. Mm-hmm. The key thing about the spine is that this is a location where the field lines are concentrating. So
right.
I'm not surprised that you get heat fed or focusing
along the
spine.
The field lines that connect from here all the way over to here are orders of magnitude larger than the teeny tiny ones which connect right down there. And so you expect that same amount of energy to get distributed into both, and you would really expect it to be concentrated in the very short loops that are close by the reconnecting field. All right.
One more question?
Yeah, it's about the lag time between the photospheric magnetic observations and then the flaring. I remember observing with SOHO decades ago, and the opposite happened, where we could see small-scale flux emergence in the MDI magnetogram after some carbon-4 micro-flaring was occurring, which was very clear in trace, several minutes afterwards. So the question is there a detectability threshold issue in regard to finding flux emerging and or seeing flaring, and or is there a scale issue, and or a more general question is, surely the question of whether it flares or not and the delay between one and the other is just asking the question, what is the relationship between the pre-existing field and the mismatch with the emerging field that's coming up afterwards, which presumably knows nothing about that. So do you have any comments on that?
Well, I guess not really know right now. I'll have to think about that. Again, why there's that lag of 10 or so hours. I mean, it takes some time for the stress to develop and for the current sheet to develop. And a lot of what we've been talking about in this conference is what's the onset that causes there to be that reconnection at that interface. And that just seems to be very unclear at this point in time. So is that a kinetic effect? Probably, I don't know.